Welcome to the Sockdolager Wellness Podcast. This is a place where we discuss health and how to be a healthier human, whether that's physically, mentally, spiritually, or more. So if you want to be a healthier individual, buckle up and hang on, you're in for a ride. All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sockdolager Wellness Podcast. I, of course, am Eric Christensen, physical therapist and your host. And today, we're going to be talking all about how slowing your breathing can make a dramatic effect on your health. That's right, slowing your breathing down not only can desensitize your nervous system, but it also increases CO2 in your blood, which reduces something called respiratory alkalosis, which is something that can drive your nervous system bonkers and, if left in a chronic state, cause significant health issues as well. So, if you're ready, sit down, buckle up, and hang on. We're going for a ride. Today is also brought to you by Sockdolager Wellness Products. That's right, I've developed my own line of supplements for things such as sleep, immunity, energy, and focus. So, if you're interested in getting better sleep, to be a better human, to get more focus so you can be more productive at work, or control your inflammation perhaps, go ahead and log on to sockdolagerwellness.com, check out the store, and start getting those products today. Yay! So breathing is one of those very interesting things that seems extremely simple on the back end, but it's actually extremely complex on the front end. But when we are breathing appropriately, when we are breathing correctly, it's a simple solution to a host of complex problems such as high blood pressure, anxiety, even schizophrenia has been muted in some folks with different breathing changes. So it can have a very, very powerful effect on your body. And it makes sense. It's the first thing we do when we wake up. Or are born, I should say, not necessarily wake up, I guess you're waking up, but first thing we do when we're born, and it is literally the last thing we do before we die, and it is the main driver for everything we do in our life, because if we do not breathe, we do not survive, and the body is very interested in self-preservation. So you'll see postures change, muscles tighten or loosen, depending on the availability of air. And that's what I want to talk about today is how respiration works, I guess, and then how we can alter that for better health, particularly today with more CO2 retention, and I'll say breath holding or breath pacing might be a better term for that. So we're going to jump into it. When we look at the breathing cycle, inhalation, we breathe in, the diaphragm descends, it creates a plunger-like effect that sucks air into the lungs, air full of oxygen, which then goes into the bloodstream because the lungs are this amazing barrier. They've got all these tiny sacs, which basically create this enormous amount of surface area, so a lot of things can get absorbed into the bloodstream very, very quickly. Oxygen goes in, CO2 comes out, and then we breathe out and the CO2 comes out. Relatively speaking, there's nitrogen and other stuff, but for simplicity's sake, let's stick with oxygen and CO2. When we look at what drives our breathing, one might think that oxygen is most important. Oxygen gets carried on blood cells to the cells, gets deposited into the cells, and then essentially oxygen is an electron donor or acceptor to create energy for the mitochondria to power the cell. Without that, we have no power to the cell, we have no energy, and the cell dies. We go along long enough, and the body dies. CO2, on the other hand, is the byproduct of metabolism. When glucose and sugar gets broken down, you have water and CO2 as a byproduct. Obviously, water we have a use for, and CO2 gets expelled out as a waste product. Interestingly enough, in the body, when we look at what drives our breathing rate and our desire to breathe, it is the presence of CO2, not the presence of oxygen. And so for some folks who have COPD, the problem with COPD is that they can't fully exhale. They are stuck inhalation and fully inhaled. And so it's very hard to get air in more because they're so stretched out. They're like a balloon that's so full of air it's almost impossible to get more air in, so they feel very short of breath. And what happens is that sometimes these patients are placed on oxygen. And when you're placed on oxygen, that increases the oxygen saturation in your blood. But relatively, the CO2 concentration doesn't change. So oxygen to CO2, the oxygen ratio increases. And what happens is because there's relatively less CO2 in the blood, because the oxygen is increased, the drive to breathe decreases, and these people actually suffocate to death. They actually don't breathe because there's not enough CO2 to tell them they need to take a breath. So we are very divinely created creatures, and yes, while CO2 is a waste product, it serves a purpose. Oxygen and CO2, when it's in the bloodstream, as it is being carried either back to the lungs or from the lungs, it is affecting the pH of the blood. pH scale is a scale from 0 to 14, 7 being the middle of distilled water, and below 7 is very acidic, above 7 is very basic. Vinegar is an acid, and like milk is kind of basic. I believe lye is kind of basic as well. So they balance each other out, they buffer each other out, so to speak. Blood should be around 7.2 pH, which is just slightly on the basic scale. But what happens is that CO2, when it's in the blood, is acidic. And it creates an acidic balance that keeps us around that 7.2. What happens is that when we are breathing, say we're under stress, we tend to over-respirate. Maybe we're exercising, we're breathing a lot, we're over-respirating. We blow off more CO2 than we retain. And so that decreases the amount of CO2 in the blood. It makes the blood relatively more basic, and it creates a system that is alkaline or basic. And it creates a condition known as respiratory alkalosis. And what that does, the body senses that and says, hey, we're low on CO2. We obviously are in some sort of stress situation. Let's create a sympathetic response. Sympathetic response meaning sympathetic nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic nervous system is your fight, flight, or freeze, in that it is prepping the body for action. It is ready to face danger. It is ready to face action. It is ready to go hunt and kill. It diverts blood from the gut, which is a secondary feature. We don't need to be digesting if we're ready to escape from danger. We need blood to our muscles. We need our muscles to be toned. We need our eyesight to be very, very accurate, so we dilate the pupils so we can get the most amount of light in. We are literally just waiting for the next foot to fall. Whereas the parasympathetic is the rest and relax system. That is where we increase our digestion, where we can calm our nervous system down, our heart rate drops, our muscles relax, and I don't want to say universally, but for the most part, a lot of us are far more sympathetic than parasympathetic, and a lot of us need to learn how to attack or address, I should say, that parasympathetic nervous system to try and increase that so that our bodies can recover better. And essentially, the parasympathetic nervous system is tied to better recovery. So with that lack of CO2, because we've blown it all off, we're in an alkaline state, we're ramping up our sympathetic nervous system, and simply because we're over-breathing, because, you know, stress or situations, or maybe you're a mouth breather, that can cause you to over-respirate, and suddenly our muscles are tensing up, we're getting anxious, our nervous system's primed for action, so we overreact at everything. Our muscles are jumping, and we don't digest well, so we might have IBS or indigestion or things like that, simply because we're not retaining CO2. And so a lot of times with folks who have anxiety or the jitters or they just can't focus or their mental clarity is poor, it could just be that their stress bucket is filled. They've adopted most likely a chest breathing pattern, which is tied to a sympathetic nervous system tone, which is also tied to overbreathing and blowing off CO2, creating a situation of respiratory alkalosis. And basically, it's just someone who's like ready to act no matter what. Like, I'm ready to go. And so what I want to talk to next is a simple breathing pattern that there's lots of different versions of this, but that I've kind of come up with that I work in my practice almost every single day. And it is a way to promote CO2 retention to be more parasympathetic tone so that we recover, we relax, and we can deal with the anxiety, the stress, the muscle tone, the IBS without drugs or medication. So the technique that I'm calling this, it's 3-4-4 breathing, and it's pretty simple. I like to think that inhaling through the nose, and it's not a slow inhale, or I mean, it is a slow inhale, it's not a forced inhale. It's not like you're trying to get as much air in as you can, because that's going to stress you out more, it's going to ramp up the nervous system more. This is slow and controlled on the inhale and the exhale. So 3-4-4, 3-second inhale, 4-second exhale, and a 4-second pause. And basically what that does is makes you retain air in your lungs longer on the exhale than the inhale. And when we exhale and we wait to inhale, we build up more CO2. And that means we're blowing off less CO2, which means we retain it and we can shift all these blood gases, change the pH of our blood, change how crazy our nervous system is acting. So it's really simple, and I'm going to try and breathe a little louder so that you can actually hear, but again, this is not a forced breath. It is a calm, paced breath without effort. And so we're in through our nose, you're out through our mouth. Inhale for 3, exhale for 4, pause for 4. So it's going to go something like this. And so on and so forth. And what that does, when we look at the rate that is preferable for humans to breathe for prolonged life and better health, it is 5.5 breaths a minute. And with that pacing, that 3-4-4, that's 11 seconds total of one breath, which puts us just about 5.5 breaths per minute of breathing. And it forces us to pause longer on the exhale than the inhale, which means we're not getting rid of as much CO2, which means that we are balancing blood gases out and managing conditions that create inflammatory responses within our body without drugs or any other thing. It's non-invasive. It's easy to do. It requires zero equipment. So I hope you take something from this. Practice it. If it were me, I would try and practice it about 5 minutes a day, whether that's all at one sitting or whether you're breaking it up in pieces throughout the day. It doesn't really matter. This is something I don't think you can overdose on. I will caution you that it might make you a little bit lightheaded at first. And because you're a longer pause, and if you're used to hyperventilating, breathing too much, you're not used to that air hunger. So it might create a little bit of panic initially. Totally normal, but if you're someone who's prone to like exacerbated panic attacks, be cautious with it. Dip your toe in the water, gradually progress it. Don't feel like you have to go full force all at once. If you have questions, contact me on social media at SockDollagerWC, pretty much on every platform. And again, if you're interested in any sort of supplements, you can definitely check that out, SockDollagerWellness.com. That is going to be in the show notes, and I hope you guys have a great day. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for your time. And remember, follow us on Instagram at SockDollagerWellness and hit that subscribe button. And if you have time, would you mind leaving us a rating and review that helps us get found? As you may know, if you're an avid podcast listener, that just helps us get out there even more. So until next time, stay healthy out there.